Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today right here from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and I have joining with me...
Hello, I'm your daughter, Shelley Brim Oaks.
Yes, and Shelley, you did the radio program for me a couple of weeks, and we got lots of good response from it. Bless the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm happy. I'm glad.
Thank you. And we especially heard from young mothers out there, maybe older mothers, I don't know, but women who are, you know... So glad to hear what you had to say. And so we'll have her back on here by herself some other times, but today, and we're going to be together. And I'm going to start off by reading you my partner letter. I sat up till midnight last night finishing this partner letter. We're going to post it online so you can read it all there. But we want to get on the same page of because God has spoken to us. And so that's where we are right now. And in my newest partner letter, which is March 2009, I invite the people to reread again my February partner letter. And that one's online, too. That's the first one. We're calling these the Awakening to God 1 and 2 prayer letters. So I begin by saying, dear partners in prayer, shalom. To recap... On June 29th, 2008, at our Sunday afternoon corporate prayer, as we were praying about the upcoming election in November, about Israel, and about the nations, the Lord interrupted us with a strong word, a prophetic word that came through me, one of the gifts of the Spirit. And this is what it was. One thing will save America, and it is not the election. It is an awakening to God. One thing will help Israel and the nations. It is an awakening to God. At the same time, inspired thoughts raced through my mind. The best person in the world could be elected president. It wouldn't help if America did not awaken to God. America's history, the Great Awakening, the part of prayer in an awakening. And so I followed the directions. I studied history. And those moves of God that history labels as awakenings. My February letter includes marvelous facts concerning the Great Awakening of the 1700s out of which America was born. In my study, I saw that a Harvard professor said in an up-to-date lecture that to understand colonial America, out of which the Declaration of Independence came, you cannot understand it without a study of the Great Awakening. And so we talked about that on radio. You can go back and get the archived radio times when we talked about George Whitefield and how God united those 13 colonies into a United States of America. That's called the Great Awakening. But then I came to see that America not only was born out of an awakening, but she was preserved through an awakening prior to her most critical hour, the Civil War. And I promised in my February letter to write next about the simultaneous awakenings in the United States of America and in Northern Ireland, Ulster. These happened in the years preceding the war, began in the United States, 1857, through 1859 and over into the war, and the year of the Great Awakening in Ulster, Northern Ireland, was 1859. Now, surprises. As I studied these things, now Shelley and I, we had the prayer meeting June 29th in which God said there's one thing that will save America. Then we moved on over and had our big prayer meeting in October, our annual prayer meeting where we have about 4,000 prayers come in here praying united. Then Shelley and I got on a plane. We flew to Europe. We went through Paris. Wonderful things happened there. And then we went to Northern Ireland. Lynn Hammond was already there. And we were in Pastors Paul and Karen Brady's church that's called Living Rivers in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. And they had left a book in my room, Ireland's Lost Heritage by David Carnduff. It is a study of the visitations of God in Ireland, beginning with Patrick. Now, we've got this book all the way from Ireland, and we're going to offer it to you this week. It's pretty costly. It costs us a lot to get it over here. But, you know, I think I'm not sure how much it'll be. When you call in the office, they'll know what we can let you have it for. But it's a thick book, and Patrick was quite a man. St. Patrick. It's not the silly little things that you hear about him and the snakes and all that, but he was quite a man. So it talks about the visitations of God in Ireland. And in chapter 4, it talks about the Ulster Awakening. That's the awakening that happened in simultaneously with the one here in America. And in that book, this is in chapter 4, certain things of it just struck a keynote in my spirit. In the 19th century, Ulster experienced an awakening of such proportions that, among other things, an estimated 100,000 people were swept into the kingdom of God. It happened within the space of 1 year, 1859. The outpouring of the Spirit that came in that year was so concentrated, when it hit Ulster, like a tidal wave, it carried everything in front of it. Is there any difference between a revival and an awakening? A case could be made for saying that there is. For a revival could be described as a visitation of God's Spirit on God's people, but an awakening as a time of such intense visitation that both the Christian and non-Christian communities are affected. An awakening is considered to be the effect of revival on the community at large, including those who are outside the Christian faith. William McLaughlin calls it a cultural revitalization and explains that while revivals alter the lives of individuals, awakenings alter the worldview of a whole people or culture. The 1859 Ulster Awakening, and Ulster is Northern Ireland, was truly an awakening, for the whole public at large was affected. Now, that book was in my room. I read that. God has been talking to us about awakenings. And this book, Ireland's Lost Heritage, has that definition of awakening in there. I think it's a good one. When we got to the first church service at Living Rivers, Pastor Paul reminded me that the Ulster Awakening coincided with what is called the Fourth Great Awakening in America. And he held up a copy of Revival Fires by Wesley Duell. I don't know why I was so surprised. I thought, oh my goodness, God's told me to study awakenings, and here that awakening happened at the same time on both sides of the Atlantic. I thought, why does that come as a surprise? I've read that book many times. Revival Fire, you know I've offered it over the radio many times. We'll offer it again if you want to buy it. I've read that book many times. I think I'm the one who recommended it to Pastor Brady. So I picked up the book and read again about the simultaneous awakenings on both sides of the Atlantic. I found an amazing fact. They both began with prayer. That wasn't so amazing. All awakenings begin with prayer. Here's the amazing fact. The prayers began on the same day, September 23rd, 1857. This is not to say that others had not prayed before and were even then praying, but the outpourings that resulted in the awakenings can be traced specifically to that date. First, I want to look at the awakening in America. Now, Gloria Copeland and I, actually, we're on television right this very week. You're hearing this, and we're doing our second week. It's broadcast. It started March 9, and then the second week starts March 16, is it? And we're talking about awakenings. We're talking about the Babylonian system, what got America into the shape it's in financially. And then we're talking about the Great Awakenings. So you'll want to watch that. You can archive it on KCM, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. But Gloria, we were so moved and even to tears one day on that set that Gloria asked me to speak on it at the Ministers Conference, the Kenneth Copeland Ministers Conference in January in Fort Worth. And when I did, Annie Stratton, you know Ann Shelley, your dear little friend. Ann and Dan have pastored a church right there in the financial district of New York City for many years. She came running up to me with a book. And that book we're also making available to you. It's called The New York City Noon Prayer Meetings by Talbot W. Chambers. It was written in 1858. Now, Talbot Chambers was a pastor at the North Dutch Church on Fulton Street in New York. And he gave an account of those beginning noon prayer meetings. They all began there. The Fulton Street Church stood in the exact vicinity where the World Trade Center recently stood, between West and Greenwich crossing at Fulton. The church building itself dated back to pre-Revolutionary War days. Its first immediate neighborhoods were, families of Dutch settlers, and they built a church. But then it's reported here in this book, Noontime Prayer Meetings, that the whole neighborhood changed, and the families moved further out, and the neighborhood of the church became the financial center of the growing United States of New York City, the growing New York City. And so the board wanted to reach the people. There were more people than ever around the environs of the church, but they were totally different. There were people from Asia. There were people from everywhere. There were offices and shops and businessmen. And so they hired a man to knock on doors, pass out tracts, and invite people to come to church. They hired Jeremiah Lanpier, a middle-aged businessman. And he started working hard from dawn till dark, visiting the people in the offices and the shops with almost no results. And he grew tired, weary. But he discovered that if he came back to the church an hour in the middle of the day to pray at the church, he was revitalized spiritually and physically. Chambers writes in the book, New York City Noon Prayer Meeting, "Waiting upon the Lord, he renewed his strength. His own soul was cheered and refreshed, and he was enabled to set forth with a quickened sense of the divine favor. This fresh personal experience of the blessedness and power of prayer suggested to Mr. Lanpier's mind that there might be others, especially those engaged in business, to whom it would be equally pleasant and profitable to retire for a short period from secular engagements and engage in a devotional exercise. A neat handbill was prepared. At 12 o'clock on the 23rd day of September 1857, Jeremiah Lanpier took his seat to await the response to the invitation. After a half hour's delay, the steps of one person were heard as he mounted the staircase. Presently, another appeared, and another, until the whole company amounted to 6. On the next Wednesday, the 6 increased to 20. The subsequent week, 40 were present. Within a few weeks, the place was packed, and pastors from other churches who attended the Fulton Street meeting began prayer meetings across the city. And those in attendance testified that they felt an awesome sense of God's presence." Now, we're going to take up with this tomorrow, this Fulton Street prayer meeting. And our week is going to be talking about awakenings that came in the middle of financial disasters. What to do in a time of financial disaster? We're making available to you this week the book, New York City Noon Prayer Meetings, Ireland's Lost Heritage, and we want to give you George Mueller's autobiography, To Build Your Faith. We'll have special prices on them. I don't know what they'll be. Just telephone us at 1-800-972-3447. Now, I'm going to start at Walk on the Water Faith Church, Osage Beach, March 16 through 19, an Awakening America Rally. Go online and find out about it. Also, we're doing Eschatology, Book of Daniel, billybrim.org. Shalom, shalom.